in a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Good evening, everyone. I hope everyone's having a fantastic day and doing great. You tuned into this show, so that's fantastic. And I want to thank you all for doing that. Please hit the like and subscribe. Tonight's show, Behold a Pale Horse. Very interesting. It's the title of a book. If you're a Clint Eastwood fan, you may know it from, Pale Rider? It's the opening line, basically, in that movie. Behold a Pale Horse. It's also the title of a book written by Bill Cooper. And oddly enough, I came across this video.
We lost you, Peter.
I thought I had this figured out. Don't ask me why, but when this thing goes to sleep, what's less? Anyway, A Pale Horse by the author Bill Cooper. Now, I have not read the book, but the title is quite interesting. And the titles, we've heard the title a lot, Behold a Pale Horse. What is this pale horse? Well, it's the fourth horseman of the apocalypse. The four horsemen of that ride in Revelation, but what does that have to do with us today? Because the fourth horseman is death, and it says Hades is right behind it. Interesting that the translated word from Greek into English. In the original Greek Septuagint, it's like a pale green, the horse and rider. The reason I bring that up tonight, and there's a lot of disinformation that's going on. I mean, there's disinformation upon disinformation. And it's very difficult to discern what is the fact from the fiction. What are they telling us and what aren't they telling us? And so you look for things to match up, hopefully coming from different sources. But, you know, anymore, everybody is spinning a narrative. And very few people stop to think about what is true and what is not. And so that's ultimately what we want to find out, because once you understand the truth, two things happen. Number one, you got to deal with it. But then truth is the best weapon. Light and truth will destroy darkness and the lie. And that's just a fact. But this pale horse that's coming, and its significant meaning, Bill Cooper figured this out probably a little bit longer before I became aware of it, because he gave this prediction back in the 1990s of that we would be facing Armageddon. Well, yeah, well, I kind of knew that when I was about, before I was 5 years old, I knew that option was coming. That was extremely real to me at the age of five, actually 4 and a half when I first started comprehending this. Very, very long time ago. More than three quarters of the people on planet Earth have lived as long as Vriscilla and I have. Think about that. We're a dying breed, or are we? Ah, we're not a dying breed. We're a living breed of people who seek truth and knowledge and are able to share that vast amount of knowledge to the people that listen. Would you agree with that, Vriscilla?
Yes.
There you go.
I keep my microphone muted, so there's no background noises coming through.
No puppies running around? Shucks.
He's behaving himself right now.
It's good when they take a nap. I've got mine kind of trained. Okay, it's showtime. You go take a nap. And so, but getting back to Bill Cooper, what he came to the conclusion of, it's not the Jews, it's not the Catholics, it's not the Islamic people. It's not these people that are behind Armageddon. These people are puppets in a show for world domination. But that there's such an accumulated wealth of knowledge, and the people who figure this out become targets. And that's one of the things that Bill Cooper said, that when he was talking about these things and trying to explain this stuff 30 years ago, actually over 30 years ago, his buddies at the three-letter agencies paid him a visit and beat him up. When you step on their toes and tell too much, they will come for you, they will find you, and they will do what they wish. Now, the great thing is, since my involvement with their nonsense became on the physical side, and you take the testimony of somebody like this and say, well, look, it's not any of these other people, these religious groups aren't necessarily behind it. They are the puppets in a much bigger puppet show. Think about that. Think about that. One of the people that I listen to from time to time, she always does a good interview, is Dr. Jan Halper-Hayes. And she's a social psychologist, basically. Not an area that I'm an expert in, but I've got a lot of knowledge in that subject. How the mind works is absolutely fascinating, and what we can do with our own minds once we put our mind to it. It's actually based on a bunch of belief systems, either erroneous or factual. Erroneous belief system. Your child can't figure out whether it's a male or female just by looking at its genital parts. Now, there are extreme cases, but come on. What happened? Social manipulation. It's social manipulation in order to get us to this point, to where we've gotten to. And I have heard the word Armageddon within the last week since this show. I have heard it on different, more famous podcasters or people who have like huge amounts of listeners in their channel or their followers. But they are talking about Armageddon. It has gotten to be part of social consciousness at this juncture. What has been your experience for Scala? Have you noticed that?
I think that we mentioned this before. The superiors to the troops, I don't know if they're generals or whatever they are, whether they're colonels or whatever they might be, they're telling the troops that this is a holy war, that this is being done to bring about Armageddon.
Yes, we did discuss this, and we talked last week. We talked about three death cults, right? And I identified that yes, they all are run by the same group. Those from the synagogue of Satan.
Who, by the way, are getting their butts beat big time.
That's what I understand. I have not seen a whole lot about it. What have you seen? I mean, I heard, you know, sometimes it's clickbait, and I just couldn't get through the nonsense of where we started out, where they started out, but it was Tel Aviv looked like Gaza. What have you heard?
I keep forgetting to unmute my mic. So I put one of the pictures up so you can see. I've got a lot. I'm gonna. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, I can.
Okay. I got a lot. I'm gonna share Saturday night. If what's coming across is accurate, Israel's getting their butt handed to them. They're turning areas around Jerusalem into Gaza, baby, basically.
Yeah, interesting, huh? You know who owns the majority of the property around the Temple Mount?
Well, I think Rothschild?
No, actually, right around the Temple Mount, in the old city of Jerusalem, the Catholic Church, when it was told to me, geez, about 10, 15 years ago, I had a friend who knew the lawyer involved personally. They went to school together, and they lived in the same town. They had become friends. And he started off working for the Archdiocese of New York, but he was a real estate attorney, and he was assigned by the church. He's double knighted to buy up every piece of land that the church could buy up around the Temple Mount. Think about that.
And so who funded him? The Vatican?
Yeah, the Vatican.
Wow.
Yeah, he was double knighted by the Pope. She said he was pretty wealthy. You know, he had a law firm. He was doing well. And she said, and then all of a sudden he became real wealthy. And it's when he started doing this work for the Vatican. She said he had hot and cold running Filipino boys. Interesting. Had his own little private compound. Whatever, you know, but that's that I got from firsthand experience. Secondhand. I wasn't there. Nothing to do with it. But yeah, it's just that's just a little factoid. But now, why are they destroying, and there's a logic behind here, okay? Why are they destroying each other? Think about this, because there's a two-pronged approach. We're going to look at this analytically. They're opposing sides, right? Israel and Iran. Now, is it the people of Israel and is it the Jews and the Iranians? I asked a good friend of mine about this several years ago. He went by Josh, but his Arabic name was Vahid. I always used to tease the heck out of him. But anyway, but he went by the name of Joshua. And I said, Josh, I said, you're from the Middle East. I said, what's going on over there? I think he was actually born in this country. His parents were from the Middle East. And he said, Peter, my mother is Jewish and my father is Iranian. My mother is Jewish and my father is Iranian. He says it's all politics. He said the people get along. They get along. He would tell me some of the parties they go to, you know, back in the old country. Very nice guy, very happy, you know. I'm sure he's not too happy about what's happening over there. Now, I'm sure it affects large parts of his family. Can't say I haven't felt the same way about Ukraine. I spent a lot of time in Kiev. So, I made a lot of friends while I was over there. Don't ask me what happened to them now. So, you know, we have experiences from different parts of the world, but you've got two sides, two factions fighting against each other. Inspired by whom? Who's behind the fighting? Why is this fighting going on? You know, the interesting thing is, okay, from what I understand, and I think I mentioned this, Hamas to the south had 100,000 missiles pointed at Israel, and to the north in Lebanon, Hezbollah had 300,000 supplied by Iran, by the Iranian regime. That's sure annihilation, just by the numbers. Sure annihilation. And so you turn around and all of a sudden you put Israel in at the point of, well, we got him to the south of us, we got him to the north of us, we got him in front of us. Wait, what's written in the book of Luke when you see Jerusalem surrounded by its enemies? Matthew says it a little bit, it's recorded a little bit different in Matthew, but very much the same idea. It's when you see this happening, and we see it happening. There's a siege going on. Raskol, did you have any other pictures? I'm sorry, or anything else you wanted to add about that?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Because what we see going on are two religions, two theocracies, let me put it that way. Two theocracies, a government run by religion, which are diametrically opposed, involved in a conflict, even though it's regional, could have worldwide effects. And so what do you do? You get them to use up all their missiles, and then you shut the money off. And then you rebuild. Now, who installed the regime in Israel? Who started? Raskol, you know this as well as I do. Oh, just about, anyway. It goes back to the Balfour Declaration, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and so... who was behind that? Lord Rothschild. You know, the banksters, and it comes down to the City of London. But it was actually Lord Rothschild who wrote Lord Balfour, said, hey, let's make this the future homeland of the Jews. And so, boom, you had the agreement that was set in 1917. Oh, 1917. Let's see, what horseman would be riding at that point? It would be the Red Horse of War, was riding strong and hard, going through Europe and into Russia. 20 million people died in World War I. For what? So they could establish communism and create the Soviet Union, and they could turn around and get all the Jews to go to the homeland. You see where this scheme starts, Riscala?
It just shows you that when they plan, it's not just a year or two, you know, it's generations ahead. This was a short-term plan in the scheme of things for them.
Yeah, this has been going on for centuries, nay, millennia. Think about that. This is a battle that's been going on for millennia. And you know, I brought this woman up earlier, Jan Halper Hayes. Her closing statement in her interview was, "We are in a spiritual war." Oh. So now Jan Halper Hayes is a subcontractor for the Department of Defense, just to give you a little insight, and has been for quite some time. But she talks about things every once in a while, and she studies society. You want somebody who can pretty much figure out the dynamics of the personalities based on percentages in the United States, I would say she could probably give you a lot of interesting insight. And in another interview that I listened to her, she said about 8 to 10% are lost, that they're just out there in left field somewhere, and you could tell them the truth and explain it to them and they're lost. Wow. Okay, well, that's great for the rest of us. Yeah, glad I'm in the 90 percentile this time around. But for people like that, that are so far removed from the truth that they don't know whether they're male or female, hey, if you got something hormonal going on, I get that. But you got somebody that's programming you, that's something else. And what's your home life been with, and what kind of drugs are you doing? Now, with little kids, it's a different story. But we can explain what'll happen biologically and then psychologically. From 1 to 2 years old, from birth to 2 years old, actually it's 20 months, you are psychologically imprinted for the rest of your life. From birth till 5 years old, you have 80% of your belief system installed. So we have the belief system of a five-year-old, and our personality was set before our second birthday. So who programmed the kid, the boy child, to be a girl child? And they've actually done the testings when needed medically. But that's not what this show's about. Anyway, so there's a significant portion still, 10% of people who will just never accept the truth, no matter how you show it to them. Their ideology has been installed by the same people who are running the show between Israel and Iran. They control the banking system. They employ people like Jeffrey Epstein. Think about that. They employ people like Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein ain't the only one.
You know, it was in the files that he was a representative for the Rothschilds.
17,000 pages, or yeah, 17,000 items, whatever it was. I guess emails, but files, records, I don't know, 17,000 of them, though. Yeah. I pretty much comprehend exactly what's going on, and that's how they blackmail so many of these people. If it's somebody in power, hey, somebody who wants to hide money, you got that much money that you want to hide it. You're talking about people up into the billionaire, multi millionaire levels, and they're involved in no good if they have to hide their money. And so illegal money goes into places that are tax free. And they're like the Cayman Islands. Cayman Islands, you stick your money there, and they are totally private about your business. Nobody knows who put money in, and the authorities in the Cayman Islands don't talk. And you never hear about the Cayman Islands. Every major bank has a branch in Grand Cayman. Every major bank. Banking is the Cayman Islands' number one or number two industry besides tourism. They're ranked one and two, but I was surprised at how many banks are in Grand Cayman. Holy moly. Why? So the people who are dealing huge amounts of drugs going out of South America to the rest of the world, or different parts of the world, going around the world, so the profits from there could be hidden? You give me a better reason. Why would you need to hide, Riscala, why would you need to hide huge amounts of money?
Keep from paying taxes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but usually, you know, well, everything's so damn crooked anymore. You've got the major banks which are doing bad deals in some of these, J.P. Morgan, is it? Or that they were involved with Epstein. One of the major banks is
Morgan. Yeah.
Oh, we didn't know. And, you know, whether they did or not, I don't know. I scratch my head. I still can't figure out how Stephen Hawking got down to Epstein Island. But what was he going to do when he got there? Watch?
That's pretty pathetic, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah, but you know, I'm not saying that he was involved in anything, because nice time. You know, what was he gonna? It was computerized. How he communicated that way, and I've got respect for him. I'm not making fun of him at all, but. A man in his condition, was he there for anything more than some sunshine and to elbow rub with a lot of big people? He was world renowned himself. Hey, there's some things I really don't care that much about, but that's an oddity. So it wasn't. He was what they want his money, and how are they going to compromise him? They couldn't get him out of the chair, you know. It's like, how do you blackmail somebody like Stephen Hawking? So there had to be other reasons to go, you know, oh, why don't you come down the aisle and Stephen Hawkins is going to be there. Well, okay. No thanks. I got better things to do. Sorry. But it's the same group of people that are behind the game. And it's all laid out in the protocol of the synagogue of Satan. Protocol of the learned elders of the synagogue of Satan. And so I you know, here's the flip side of this, Rascala. There are ancient tunnels running through that whole area. And who's storing what where? From what I understand, and I got this firsthand from the engineer, there are huge underground facilities in Israel. Huge. So can't tell you where, can't tell you anything about them, but they're huge.
It might be they were at this point.
No, because this company was experts in making hardened bunkers that didn't exist. Huh. Yeah, they could build a bunker to any kind of specifications at any depth. How much you want to spend? They had the engineers to do it.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, he couldn't give me any specifications. Nope, but we're working there. And so, yeah, there's a lot of underground tunnels, but they also go back thousands of years. Remember, this is a city. This is an area that was under siege from time immemorial, 4,000 years almost. You know, you got to go back to the Egyptians and whatever skirmishes happened in order to set up the Egyptian Empire. And keep in mind, the Egyptian Empire was in upper Egypt. It wasn't in lower Egypt where the pyramids were. That's an oddity. Upper Egypt would have been more upstream on the Nile, Luxor, that area. But anyway, but yeah, here we are, and it's a constant. What's happened is now that Armageddon, I don't want to get too sidetracked, I want to get back to the repetition. It's that word is coming up in places that I've been like, huh? Okay. You know? But throughout social media, the word Armageddon is being used a lot. And so here we are with essentially the horsemen of war riding. And the third horseman is black horse, and that is plague and pestilence and food shortages. You know, the sad thing is, Rascala, we know exactly when these horsemen started riding. And that started in 1914. Now, the one horseman that I really haven't talked about is the first rider. And it's interesting in what Revelation actually says about the first rider. And we kind of identified the other two horses, but it's what is in unfolding as Revelation is expanding and being applied. Revelation chapter 6, and chapter 6 is very interesting because of how it's all structured. It's the opening of this of the seals, and Now, let's see. Verse 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened the one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say, "Come." And I saw, and look, a white horse, and the one seated upon it had a bow, and a crown was given him, and he went forth conquering and to complete his conquest. Now, you've got a rider dressed in white, and he's holding a bow, riding on a white horse. Symbolically speaking, a horse is a symbol of war to begin with. Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on what? It was a donkey, and it was a colt at that. Now horses were used to pull chariots, or you had your cavalry, one or the other. I imagine that was pretty, you know, you're a foot soldier, and here they come on horseback with chariots. Talking about having faith that you could turn around and stand up to an army like that. You better be connected to more than just the physical, because we're dealing in the spiritual. We're in a spiritual battle. Why do some people live through really difficult times and others don't make it? I remember there was a documentary that I saw a couple of years ago. It was on the bombing of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Man, you want to talk about somebody that he was in Nagasaki, I guess it was actually Hiroshima when the first bomb went off. He was in the city and lived through it. And he traveled to Nagasaki and was telling them what had happened to him, you know, because he was a mess. And then they bombed Nagasaki. One way or the other, he went from one town to the other, and he got hit with an atomic bomb twice and lived. Wow. I don't know what he had faith in, but he survived it.
He should have played the lotto.
Yeah. The problem was there wasn't any lotto machines within a mile. Oh. In fact, went to the local casino. I don't think that they had them in Japan. I don't, well, you know, but yeah, boy. Let's go play this. I'd be a fool if I didn't. What are the chances they just go out by astronomically? But, you know, that's, we're seeing a lot of strange things. But what about this white horse that carries on warfare in a righteous manner? And why does he only have a bow, no arrow? Here's where Revelation starts to unfold. You go to chapter 12 for that answer. And we've read it before. I've read it before. And Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels battled with the dragon, and the dragon and its angels battled, but neither did it prevail. Neither was a place found for them any longer in heaven. So down the great dragon was hurled, the original serpent, the one called devil and Satan, who is misleading the entire inhabited earth. He was hurled down to the earth, and his angels were hurled down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come to pass the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, because the accuser of our brothers has been hurled down to the who accused them day and night before our God. And they conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their witnessing. And they did not love their souls even in the face of death. On this account, be glad, you heavens, and you who reside in them. woe to the earth and for the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great anger, knowing he has a short period of time. The arrow on that bow was fired extraterrestrially, interdimensionally. And there's where the war starts out. From there we get the beast that ascends out of the sea, who is given the throne of this interdimensional, very powerful entity that has placed himself as God, as the creator itself, and demands live child sacrifice to show us that we would give our children for him. Are you nuts? But that's what these people do to gain power. The problem is that regime is now passing away, and we have the beast that is released out of the pit of the abyss. But all of the terrible thing is, when I looked into this when I was writing Letters to Earth several years ago, I did a calculation. It took several days to gather the data together. But I came up to between war, regime change, conquest, the effects of war and that war has on the population, approximately 1 billion people died in the 20th century to conflicts and the result of conflicts. As a result of a conflict, was during World War II, or toward the end of World War II, Stalin, when he went through Ukraine, took everybody's food. 2 million people in Ukraine starved to death. Think about that. 2 million Ukrainians starved to death. That's sad. And the sad part is they've got some of the most fertile land on the planet. They can grow almost anything there. Now it's all been bombed to hell. Well, not all of it, a good portion of it. Again, inspired by the same cabal. Now, it doesn't simply end badly. They're not going to take us to a point of Armageddon. Because that there's, boy, okay, let's make it cliche. The Trump card has been played. And it was played, interestingly enough, most likely by the Eighth King. And the Eighth King in Revelation 17 springs from the seven world powers and now becomes its own eighth world power. And that, interestingly enough, brings us some sort of liberation. But it brings us one step closer to the end, the real Armageddon. So you've got to put get the whole world on the same page. That's the problem. You've got to get the whole world on the same page. And what are we seeing? we're seeing interesting laws being placed by the backers of the city of London and those controlling it just to the north of us in Canada, if what I heard today is correct, Canadian government is passed, they have passed a law, I guess, in their version of the House. Now it gets sent up to their Senate or whatever the equivalent is, to ban anybody from quoting from the Bible. Whoa! Goodbye, freedom of speech, and it's biblically based.
Say that again, Peter.
They do not want to have anybody quote what I just did here could actually get me arrested.
Wow.
Quoting from the Bible. Think about that. One day it might. I don't know. You expose the truth. As I said, the truth is the best weapon. When that happens, that's what I've always relied on Jehovah. I've always relied on our Creator. And I'm still here to talk about it, even though I'd rather not talk about a lot of things that happened in the past. It's the past. Strength is my faith. Wow, I lived through all that nonsense. And I'm still here to talk about it if I choose. But that faith didn't happen overnight. There's a lot of years there. And it was a lot of things that were learned along that pathway in dealing with the interdimensional. I have a long history of dealing with the interdimensional, and it goes back to actually the first time that I experienced this. I was 9 years old. I saw the future at the age of 9. And then I had to figure out, how did I see that? What mechanism allowed me to see that? Because I comprehended how valuable that knowledge was. How do I repeat it? You know? And so it comes down to people say, how can you see the future? How can you see the future? Trust me, you can see the future. If you want to go look at it, you just have to know how to do it. Or have it done to get you to put on a path. You have a dream to come true. And some people do, some people don't. But how many people have said, I knew that was going to happen? Riscal, you ever say that? You ever say, I knew that was going to happen?
I'm laughing only because, excuse me, I had opened a can of green beans the other day, and it was one of those where you have to use a can opener. It's not one of those pull tops. And I said, be careful. Don't touch that edge. I knew that was going to happen. Get me a Band-Aid.
That's when you set it down, take a step back, and take a different approach to it.
After I made up a couple of curse words to go with it.
Yeah, but how many times have you actually had that happen in your life?
There was a time when, can't remember how many years. This was quite a few years ago, but I had a boat. I had a 24-foot well craft. I used to love fishing, go offshore fishing all the time. We went to the boat ramp this one particular day, and the boat ramp was just jam-packed, and I didn't want to wait all that time, so we went over to where they have the cranes at to have my boat put in. And I can't remember exactly how it all started, but they started to pick the boat up, and I said, I know this is going to happen. And just before I could say anything, the boat, where they had hooked the boat onto the front, it had just pulled right out of the hull. And the boat came down on the trailer. And I said, God, I something just told me. I knew that was going to happen. I don't know if that's what you call, what do you call it? When you, intuition?
Precognition.
Yeah.
Precognition. That's but there when are you many know
times where I've said, yes, I knew that was going to happen.
And precognition can happen within seconds in advance. Yeah, where you say, damn it, I knew that was going to happen. Or it could happen minutes, hours, weeks. But you have a clear precognitive comprehension of a future event. How'd that happen? How'd that happen? You see, there's a mechanism there. And that's where prayer and meditation come in. And you see, it's learning that mechanism. We'll have to do a show on this sometime. I ought to just do a CD on prayer and meditation. But there's right and wrong ways to pray. And sitting there going, with an empty head doesn't do you any good. It may relax you, but you can also relax through prayer and meditation. And it all has to do with controlling your consciousness, where we tend to operate in beta. Now, if you're driving a car, it helps if you're in beta. That you have extremely good reaction skills. But I would rather not have anybody necessarily in alpha, or especially theta for that matter, because if you're in theta behind the wheel, you're sleeping. So you don't have your eyes open. Oh boy, you're really, really deep in thought, but that usually will happen in alpha. And it's a matter of all of a sudden your brain slows down to a specific speed. But in beta, we operate above 12 hertz per second. Alpha, we run from 12 down to approximately 8. In theta, we now, our mind is cycling at the same cycle as planet Earth vibrates. So when you're in theta, the upper part of theta, you become in sync with the planet. Think about that. Now, it's by the Schumann resonance. Schumann resonance usually vibrates, it's 7.3 hertz per second. I think it's actually 2 something. But anyway, about 7.3 hertz per second, if I recall correctly. And when the human brain slows down and vibrates at that speed, generally we're sleeping, but you can do it consciously. And that when once you're in theta, all the rules of the third dimension no longer apply, depending on how far down into theta that you go. And then there's delta. Delta, get ready to experience pure energy. You know, it's interesting. But that takes a lot of time and a lot of practice and able to, you just don't go do it. Practice every day. 4 times a day, plus the little synchronicitous times when all of a sudden you go deep into thought over something. That's alpha. 92% of the most successful business people say that they daydream for about 90 minutes a day. Think about that. What are they daydreaming about? How to make more money. Different ways to become successful. But that's all part of putting us into that spiritual part. The spiritual war that we're in is really, when it comes down to it, it's a war of intelligent consciousness. Think about that. I'll explain it. Some people have had the pleasure of having a near-death experience and coming back. What I had learned is that our consciousness, because I've listened to a lot of near-death experiences besides having one of my own, but our consciousness goes on. Yeah, the body's dead as a doornail, but our consciousness goes on. And that is enveloped. That's our soul consciousness. But we are bound to the body. We are biological. Well, we're spiritual entities having a biological experience, which under the right circumstances is just so much fun. You know, to think about going on vacation and or not necessarily going on vacation, but a lot of people can relate to that. But think about doing something that you love to do. You never get tired of doing it. And, you know, you may change, you may decide, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to do something different. And so then you can find something else that you love to do. I did that through different means of employment pretty much my whole life. But the one thing that was always consistent was my continuous conquest for knowledge and comprehension of what is written in the scriptures. Not just that, but the scientific knowledge that goes along with it. When I started my research back around 1980, I said, okay, everything that was written in the Bible is written there for a reason. However, it was a need to know reason. That was rule number one. Rule number two was there are no miracles. There has to be a scientific reason for whatever happened. It's only logical. There's got to be a scientific reason. You read about in the Bible, of course, everybody's heard of Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Those people were so bad. Fireball from heaven. Turned Lot's wife into a pillar of salt. Burned it with fire and sulfur. Riscola, did you know that the what they call natural deposits, but the most pure natural deposits of sulfur are in the northeast side of the Sea of Galilee, where the River comes in.
That's where they suspect Sodom and Gomorrah was, right?
Yeah, pretty much used to be.
Yeah.
And Lot's wife literally could have been turned into a pillar of salt. The reason why is when that fireball came in and went off, it exploded. And just it was a burning hunk of sulfur, pure stuff. High grade. When it exploded over the Sea of Galilee, I'm sorry, it wasn't Sea of Galilee, it was Dead Sea. Let's got to go downstream. Same river, Jordan River, coming into the Dead Sea. When that fireball hit just outside of that city and went off, the heat was so intense that it literally vaporized the salt that was in the sea along with the water. It just evaporated the water, but it turned the salt into plasma. And whatever the salt hit, its plasma is the fourth state of matter. It's a gas. Think of salt, you know, table salt you put on your food, sea salt, but only in a gaseous form. And as soon as it hit Lot's wife, it solidified and literally turned her into a pillar of salt. Amazing, huh? That the reality is exactly what it says in the scripture. That's what they have found. That's what science uncovered. So the more we look at it through eyes that want to see and a desire to learn, the Bible's got a lot of information in it, especially about the times in which we live. Now, here's one thing that I kind of want to end on. We're just about out of time. There will not be an Armageddon, at least not yet, because we need to see the uniting of planet Earth. Before that, we need to see the end of Babylon the Great, world's religions that have divided this planet every way possible. And so we will see that. That'll be brought down between aliens and UFOs or extraterrestrials. I'm sorry, between children and alien information that Trump's going to release. How do you bring down a religious empire? Let the children speak. Very simple. And the church will be exposed for everything that it's been involved in right on up to the papacy. So, hey, we do have a bright future. And we're going to talk more about a bright future next week, because next week our show is on the memorial of Jesus' death. Keep on doing this in memory of me until I return. The 2000th year anniversary is coming up. Not this year. 3 more years. That's not that far off. So think in which the time we live. I want to say, everybody have a safe, healthy, and happy week. Love and blessings to all. And please come back and join us next week, right here, same place, same time. And we'll get into more revelation. And we'll talk about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what that has to do with us. So until then, love and blessings, everyone. Have a fantastic night.